Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about the fear of the Lord, a passage we read yesterday from Hebrews chapter 5 that the church gave us for the first reading at Mass yesterday. Talked about, you know, Jesus as the appointed high priest who offers sacrifices for sin. And so in the passage, the beginning of it, there's an analogy between Jesus' priesthood, his high priesthood, and the high priests who came before him. The writer of Hebrews reminds us those high priests were appointed by God, like Aaron, to make sacrifices for the sins of the people and for his own sin. Jesus is the ultimate high priest. Every high priest before him was a type pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he would be both priest and victim. He would be the one who offers the sacrifice, the ultimate, the one sacrifice that actually does deal with the sin problem of the human race and washes us clean and gives us an opportunity to come into the presence in the temple, the holy place in heaven, Jesus the high priest who's presiding there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful image. But it goes on to say in the passage, it talks about Jesus. I'll just read it again, beginning in verse 7. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications. So in the days of his flesh, when he was one of us, when he was walking on the earth, you know, in the reality we celebrated at Christmas of the incarnation of our Lord, that heaven and earth come together in the person of Jesus. In the fullness of time, he's born of a woman, born of Mary. He carries, you know, he receives from her his bodily, his life, and Jesus lives as one of us. And he's fully God and he's fully man at the same time. So in the days he was in the flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications to the Father. One of the most important things to see in the life of Jesus is how he's teaching us how to rightly orient our life, our entire life toward the Father, that we become God-directed. You know, when Adam sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve, remember what happened to them. They went and hid. They felt shame. They were afraid. They covered themselves. They sort of ran from God. And that whole reality of being disconnected, full of shame, full of fear, anger, all kinds of things in the human heart has been a part of the human condition because the relationship with God has been broken because of sin. And we've come under a different dominion, the human race, that sin's power expressed through the power of death, the fear of death, like we talked about yesterday, works in the human heart. And the human heart's got, you know, the death casts its shadow, and human beings fight against it. They're confused under it. They're alienated from God. If they have any image of God, many times it's like he's an angry power in heaven, and we don't know how to approach him. We don't know really what he's like, and we live kind of as slaves, you might say. We live as slaves to sin, power of sin and death. And when we get baptized into Christ and we're given the grace of the Holy Spirit and we're united to the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ washes us clean and breaks the power of the dominion and the rule of sin and death, and new life is given to us in the Spirit, begins this journey. We're born again there in baptism by water in the Spirit, and the journey begins where the Holy Spirit helps us interiorly and transforms us, giving us a new heart, and helps us be ordered rightly to God, loving the things of God, loving the will of God, loving the commandments of God. God is not my enemy. God is not a threat to me. God does not diminish me. Surrendering with humility to God and embracing his commandments and loving those commandments and loving him in them is the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading us, giving us a new power and a new capacity to live differently and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and to be oriented to God like Jesus was oriented to God. And so we have a heart that's not filled with fear, slavish fear, of an orphan spirit, you might say, alienated from God. We now have a spirit that cries in us, Abba, Father. And we come to see God as our daddy, our father. And we see the amazing mercy, kindness, gentleness, tenderness, forgiveness, the fiery passion of God's love for us. And it's given to us through the Son as we follow Jesus. And so we see in this passage, Jesus was directed. He directed his heart to the Father. And he was dealing with the human suffering. He became one of us in every way but sin. The suffering, the weight, the trials, the spiritual battle, all of it. And he cried out to the Father. As I said yesterday, ultimately in Gethsemane, we see this happening. When he's crying out to the Father, let this cup pass from me, because he knew what he was about to step into, the intensity of the spiritual battle, and he was going to die, and he was going to give his life. But he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That's a profound moment for the human race right there. This is a key thing that sets us free. And this is where he said he was heard because of his godly fear. It's sometimes difficult for people to understand Jesus had the fear of the Lord. Well, he didn't have the kind of fear of the Lord that doesn't make any sense for him to have, which is a slavish fear and the fear of eternal judgment and eternal punishment. When we become children of God, by God's grace, we're brought out of that. That's an imperfect way, but it is a way. There is some wisdom there. And that kind of fear, even that slavish fear, can help people in the fear of judgment. It isn't necessarily related to God. It's not related to God in the right way, but the fear of coming under ultimate judgment and punishment can hold people back. And if that's all from jumping into sin, and living a life that we know in our conscience is not right. Everybody has a conscience that says do good and avoid evil. And the fear, the sense of some kind of final judgment can cause us to pay attention to our conscience, right? But that's not what Jesus had when he talked about godly fear. He had what's called filial fear. And it comes from a deep love and affection. And it's a clarity about the reality of how offensive sin is to God and how it breaks that relationship of love. And how it offends love, and it's the opposite of love. And so filial love teaches us and empowers us to see sin for what it is. This is why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We begin to see that, one of the wisest things to see is that who God is and his holiness and how sin is radically inconsistent with God, who is pure and holy. And sin offends the loving God who loves me, loves you. And as our heart gets tenderized and we start to have the affection for God and love for God that Jesus had, that Jesus gives us through the gift of the Spirit, as our heart, your heart and mine, we gets healed over time by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Eventually, the fear of the Lord gets perfected in love, just like all the virtues and everything does, it gets perfected. And it's not the primary thing we experience, but it's present, and it's important for it to be present. And we said here, the Isaiah reading reminds us that Jesus not only had the fear of the Lord, but it says his delight was in the fear of the Lord. His delight was to do the will of God. And the fear of the Lord helped him see that. It kept him focused on the right thing. And so just a few things about that spiritual gift. These spiritual gifts are the working of the Spirit. They're given to us by the grace of the Holy Spirit through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation that equip us to respond to the leadings of the Holy Spirit and to orient our lives, orient our heart to God. The first manifestation, Father Lagrange, who was a great spiritual teacher, the church described the fear of the Lord in these various ways. I just want to read some of the things he says about it because I think it's very helpful. He says, the first manifestation of the influence of the Holy Spirit in the soul is the fear of the Lord that helps us leave off sin and converts us to God. The fear of the Lord is that realization, like, it's really foolish to oppose God and the commands of God, because God is good, God is holy, God is almighty, and we begin to see things as they are, right? And it's tremendously clarifying. So if the fear of the Lord is wisdom, the lack of the fear of the Lord is foolishness. And the lack of the fear of the Lord gets expressed in human pride, my own declaration. I know what's true for me. I'm going to do what I think is right. These kinds of things resist it. So you can see in the Old Testament, Jeremiah is chastening the prophet who is helping Israel to come to terms with where it's really at, the apostasy that was happening among them, the idolatry, immorality was happening. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, he mentions the fear of the Lord in this way. He said, your wickedness will chasten you. He's warning them. And he said, your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God. Israel falls into compromise, seduced by sin and temptation. And one of the things that gets manifest is not only the wickedness of their sin, but then apostasy. They turn from God. They reject the faith. How many people today who were once believers, once followers, have turned their backs on the Lord? And you could say today, you know, people give all kinds of reasons and justification. Well, you know, the weakness of the church, the sins of the church, and who would want to be attached to it, all this stuff. Yeah, I could see why that certainly rattles people in different ways. But to turn from God, and the same thing ought to be said today that Jeremiah says, your apostasy will reprove you, because your apostasy is going to lead you and lead us into deeper and deeper separation from God, deeper into sin and darkness and slavery. We might think it's freedom. We might think it's our truth is the way to go. But in the end, God says and will say to us, the fear of me is not in you, and you have forgotten that it is evil and it is bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God, your Creator and Lord. Father Lagrange goes on to say, it's greater than servile fear, which we talked about, which trembles at the punishments of God and diminishes, but it diminishes as charity and the motive of just love for God grows and grows in us, right? The filial fear or gift of fear dreads sin especially more than the punishments that due to it. And that by the Holy Spirit, sometimes he helps us see God in his holiness. We get little tiny glimpses and we tremble with holy respect before the majesty of God. And at times, he said, the soul may have a vivid experience of God's majesty. That experience is a gift that fills us with holy fear. And it's a gift and a working of the Spirit that touches us. So the fear of God is a good thing, a really good thing. It's not something we should protect people from in a strange way. We shouldn't be afraid to use these terms, the fear of the Lord. The holy fear of sin is the beginning of wisdom because it leads us to obey the divine law in everything, which is wisdom itself. That's a really, really helpful line. Let me read it again to internalize. Holy fear of sin is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because it leads us to obey the divine law in everything, which is wisdom itself. Jesus said he came to do his Father's will. He died on a cross and said yes to the Father because he said, I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. And how do I love the Father? I obey his commands because I know his commands are good. And he's my God, he's my Father, and I owe him this. We're going to talk about more of this tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join us. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.